Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Aaron Gretsch, Assistant News Editor.
Crystal Mims, Assistant Radar Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, everybody, the people behind the paper. How y'all feeling?
Good.
Pretty good, yeah.
There was a little bit too much hesitation behind both responses for me to take that as a serious response.
I mean, it's kind of gloomy today, so I'm happy because it's been too hot. So I'm actually pretty happy.
You said
today.
It's gloomy outside, therefore, yes. I am happy.
Yes, because it's way too hot out here, so I'm appreciating the coldness we're getting.
So there's this weird, anti-relationship between the status of the weather outside. The sadder the weather is, the happier Crystal gets.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll start having it have lots of fog rolling in, and
yes,
it'll start hailing,
perfect.
And
perfect.
Maybe a tornado. we get tornadoes here sometimes.
Wait, what?
From time to time, it happens.
Really?
It does. This is the wrong season for it. It happens in December or January or February.
That's just
sometimes.
Riverside, right?
Sort of just in the Southern California area, not necessarily. We're a little bit too inland for it. It's a little bit too dry here. But it does happen in the state of California very, very infrequently. But you did not tune into the newsroom because you wanted an update on the weather. You tuned into the newsroom because you wanted to hear a conversation about the things that are affecting UCR students today, right?
Don't forget to take a towel.
Don't forget to take a towel. And as you'll soon find out, the towel is your best friend in the entire universe. So on the docket this week, we have the Food Truck Festival, which happened this quarter. It's the second time this year that it happened. Some of us went to this particular festival and bought some food, and we're going to talk about our experiences eating food. So hopefully you're not too hungry. Then after that, we will talk about the eponymous towels that Aaron referenced. In which the SRC, the Student Recreation Center on campus, has put out a plea for help saying that their towels are being stolen. And so we are going to investigate who could possibly be the culprit behind this heinous crime. Then after that, we will move on to the fact that UCR students protested last week about against police brutality disproportionately against people of color, and the results of some of that protest were interesting, and we'll talk a little bit more about why that was the case later on in the show. And if we have time, we will talk a little bit about Middle Eastern Week, which happened on campus last week as well. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get started with food, because I know that's everybody's favorite topic. The fourth annual Food Truck Festival rolled onto campus last week. You all saw what I did there, I hope. There were, I believe, something like 27 food trucks.
There were quite a few out there. I'm not sure exactly how many.
Yeah, there were a significant number, and I'm trying to think of a couple. There was Angie's Wieners, which is a hot dog place. There was a
Goodwin's had their organic.
Oh yeah, Goodwin's, and there was the Culinary Chameleon and Moo Moo truck there as well. There was a grilled cheese place.
Truck.
So there was the Waffen Roll, which Bacon Mania, and then there were a couple of there were Rice Balls of Fire or something like that, and the line for that was really long, so I didn't really get to see much of it. But suffice to say, there were a lot of different trucks here on campus, and a lot of students came out for it. And Crystal, I know you were there. What was the Food Truck Festival experience like for you?
Yes. It was really crowded. The lines are really long. But actually, I had plans to try the sushi truck.
Oh, the sushi
van. But there was no line for that truck kind of at all, so that kind of scared me off.
That is actually the exact same thought that I had when I approached it. There were three people in line when I was there, and I was like,
something's wrong here. so it kind of, I was like, maybe I won't do that truck. So I got a smoothie from the Goodwin's organic truck. It was pretty good, but it was way too small, and it was $7. So I was not again. I also got something from the grilled cheese truck, which was good also, but it was $8 and wasn't big at all. So it kind of just made me sad that I paid that much.
Was it all organic or?
Well, the Goodwin's truck, the smoothie I got was. But as far as the grilled cheese truck, I'm not sure. But it was good.
Was there anything else in the grilled cheese, or was it just grilled cheese?
I got like, there was like vegetables in it and like this balsamic vinaigrette type sauce. It was good, but yeah, I just wish it had been bigger.
Yeah, I went to I actually forgot the truck name that I went and visited, but I ordered a pulled pork sandwich with fries, and the fries were pretty garden variety fries. The ketchup was pretty garden variety ketchup, and the pulled pork sandwich was pretty garden variety pulled pork sandwich. But I guess it's more awesome because it came from a food truck, so therefore it's like instantly creative or like a delicacy or something. I spent $10 on that.
Wow.
So I did not get something to drink because I had already blown my budget for the day. And I don't know if I regret the purchase. I don't think I do regret it, but I do think that I didn't quite get as much bang for my buck as I would have liked.
Exactly. And even when we were tabling, the people that were tabling next to us, there was a guy there and he had a pizza, and it was like a, it looked like those personal size pizzas, and he spent $10 on that too, and I was just like, wow.
You can just get like an entire little Caesar's pizza for like $5.
Yeah, and but it's from a food truck, so it obviously must be better. Like, this is the obvious conclusion that you have to come to.
Sarcasm.
Yes, right. Hashtag sarcasm. One of the things that was interesting was, for me at least, was that the truck that I picked wasn't actually because I wanted to try that particular truck. That's the reason why I don't remember the name of the truck, is because I didn't have like a burning desire to go there. It was more so because all the other lines were really, really, really long, and I didn't want to wait an hour for food.
Yeah.
I think the one place that I would have liked to go to was like the there was a Korean fusion truck, and I wanted to try that one, but that had the longest line, and I was like watching people for a couple minutes, and the line had hardly budged at all. And so I'm like, there are 50 people here. It takes 2 minutes to move one person forward. I am not going to stand here for an hour and a half for $10 food. So it was just like,
Yeah, that was one good thing about the grilled cheese truck. Like, the line was long, but it moved fast. So
oh, that's
I was
good.
Like, okay, good.
What I know in the past, they had another food truck festival in Fall Quarter, and I know a couple of us went to that one. How do you think the two measure up compared side by side?
This one was a lot smaller, I think, from what I could see. Like, there weren't that many trucks.
Yeah, there were less trucks this year. I think there was a little bit less variety overall.
I mean, the price has always stayed consistent.
Consistently high.
Yeah, I didn't go last year. I kind of like passed by. I just didn't buy anything. But yeah, it did seem like there was more trucks last year. So,
and I think the result of that was that I think some of the lines were a little bit longer this go around than they were last time, just because there were a little bit less trucks available, which is unfortunate for people who want to try different stuff. But I think some of the people that I talked to from ASUCR had mentioned making this kind of a quarterly thing rather than happening once or twice a year. It happens one time every quarter. What do y'all think about that?
I think people would really appreciate that. People love food, so yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Do you have it every single quarter?
Yeah, one time a quarter.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there should be more active participation among student orgs, having more interesting fundraisers every week. So that way, like, if they change it up. So, I mean, I remember I did buy something, and it wasn't that great from an org, but I mean, like, you can support the groups, the people on campus more. If there's more of that, and if there's a lot more advertisement for that than necessarily having to rely on food trucks.
Mm. That's actually one thing that was mentioned to me as well, is that some student organizations were concerned that having the food trucks there, especially on Wednesday, which is the day where the normally student organizations go out during New Year's to sell food and fundraise for their organization, they didn't have an opportunity to do that because of the food truck festival. So we'll see how they navigate that in the future. Maybe they can find a good medium ground, and maybe they can have it where like some student orgs and food trucks come out together, and they all sell stuff together, because people might be drawn out to the food truck festival by the allure of food trucks, but then go to student orgs because the prices are usually much cheaper.
Well, Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Or maybe like have some way to negotiate it with the food trucks that like maybe try to get like maybe even student organizations to bring food trucks on campus so that way they can organize fundraisers with them. Oh. And that way we get more bang for our buck because, yeah, we're paying a higher price, but this money is going to our campus somehow.
Okay. That's an idea. ASUCR, if you're listening, you can take this into consideration for fall quarter next year.
Especially since I can't bring up ideas. Directly.
Okay. We will have you know that the Highlander Newsroom is an idealist forum. You're not allowed to express your opinion here.
Well, not the newsroom, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Yeah. But we all, I think, await with bated breath the next food truck festival to see what trucks roll back on campus. I used it again in fall quarter, and hopefully the lines will be slightly less long, and I won't cross my fingers for lower prices, but... Well, it seemed like a lot of fun. There were a lot of UCR students who were out there, so I think that was great. And we'll see how it goes next year. Another thing that's been on our radar this week was a story that is coming straight from the Student Recreation Center, and they have put out a plea for help. This is a very important SOS signal that they are communicating. They are having a significant theft of towels. I'm just, don't laugh, Crystal. This is serious. This is a serious matter.
But I mean, if a towel is the most important thing in the universe that you can carry, then why is everyone...
Everybody wants one for themselves. That's and true. You should know that you are never to go anywhere without your towel. You should never leave home without a towel because they can be used for so many convenient things. And I feel like this is the most important story of our time here at UCR. And I just can't emphasize this enough because the Student Recreation Center has said that basically people use the towels and they walk out with them. They take them back with them wherever they go, and it's gotten so bad that now they're starting a campaign that ends in hashtag save the towels. A couple of the posters that are in the Student Recreation Center feature puppies looking at people who are visiting and saying, save the puppies, save the towels. I think there's another one that says, save the whales, save the towels. And they are warning that if towels continue to be stolen from the Student Recreation Center, that they will have to start charging students for towel use rather than giving them out on a loan basis. This is crazy. I can't find another word to use for this. Like, this is serious business.
Well, I mean, with all the robberies that occur around campus, it's pretty funny how the most dominant one was a towel.
It's not just one towel. It's more than one towel. It happens on a daily basis, and no one notices, I guess, until now.
I think it's our climate. It's just the campus climate. It's that we can't feel safe, so instead of fighting back against thieves, we're becoming thieves by stealing these towels.
This is just an atmosphere on campus now, and I think that it's been created where we have an atmosphere of where towel theft is okay, and I think this is something that we really need to fight against.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's obviously very easy to steal the towels, so if people feel like they can get away with it, I'm pretty sure they're gonna try. Anything you think you can get for free, people usually go for it, so... That's what's happening.
The thing is, the towels are also themselves like security tags because they're really gross after you're done using them. And like, you have to think, so many people use those towels. It's like a bunch of different people's sweat that you're carrying with you. And it's been bleached and like washed numerous times, so they're not exactly the most comfortable towels to use. I mean, they're used basically just to wipe down the equipment, so there's really no point in stealing them.
Well, not just for wiping down the equipment. Like, people use them, like, if they go swimming in the pool. You can use the towels there to dry not be wet.
It's not the most comfortable thing to use.
No, they're not, but it gets the job done.
Hopefully they won't start charging people for them. Just because I feel like maybe if they just, I don't know, have someone kind of watching... Just paying attention more, you know, people will feel like, oh, they're watching, so I'm not going to, like, this towel.
Is the answer that I'm hearing a towel police?
Yes.
I'm hearing the answer towel police right now.
As long as they stop using the puppies, I'm okay with whatever.
And that's the thing. Maybe if they run out of towels, they'll have to use puppies to dry people off.
No.
That would be...
That would be kind of cute. Not the act, but having the puppies around.
I just think the posters themselves are very exploitative of puppies. It's kind of like that National Lampoon cover. You know which one I'm talking about.
No, I don't, unfortunately.
National Lampoon released a cover, I think back in the 70s, like that pointed a gun at a puppy and said, if you don't buy this issue, we're going to kill this puppy.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Was it successful?
Yeah, it is actually one of their best-selling issues, I believe.
Well then, I guess the Student Recreation Center is doing something right because they are saying they're onto something here. Save the puppies by saving the towels. I can't emphasize this enough because there's a point where the towel shortage got so severe that a couple of workers at the SRC have said they had to take one larger towel and cut it up into smaller towels. So that students could use them who are there at the SRC center. I guess this only happened once, but the very idea that you have to take a towel and cut it up to make new towels is amazing on so many levels. And I just appreciate the workers at the SRC who did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Round of applause. Thank you, Aaron. They should get a round of applause for points for creativity there. I cannot thank them enough for what they have done.
Epic clutch right there.
Yeah, such clutch. But if you are listening to this show out there and you are now aware of the plight of the SRC when it comes to towels, you now know what you have to do. Do not steal the towels. Place the towels back in their appropriate locations. Treat the towels as you would your own children. Just save the puppies, guys. Save the puppies and save the whales. If you don't do it, then they'll die. And we don't want that to happen. So take care to make sure that those towels get back in the right place. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, only on KUCR 88.3 FM, broadcasting from KUCR.org live, or on the TuneIn app on Android, or the KUCR app on iPhone. Moving on to Riverside protests. Last week, there was a demonstration against police brutality. It's been a lot in the news again recently. There was the man who was shot while running away from a police officer. I believe it was in South Carolina, but I'm not 100% certain. And then, of course, there was a case in Minnesota where I believe a teenager was holding a toy rifle and was shot by police there as well. And in the wake of these cases, there was a protest action that happened at UCR. It started at the Bell Tower, and it moved down toward downtown Riverside. And Aaron, you were there for a lot of it. Would you mind telling us a little bit about how the protest sort of happened and how it unfolded?
Well, I wasn't covering it, but I was there throughout most of it. Well, the first thing I did was
did it start?
Probably it started around 12. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it because I was at the hub working on an essay, and then I just hear like these loud yells, which was penetrating through my classical music. So then I stopped.
All right.
Yes. I'm just sorry. This is actually how it happened. I stopped. I looked down and I was like, "Oh, there's that protest that Amy's covering. Let me see how many people are there." And then I looked down and it was like not that large. There were about like 15 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were about 15 people. They were making a noise. I'll give them that. They were pretty loud.
They were making noise.
They were pretty loud. People noticed them. And then they marched away from the hub. And then I went into the office, somehow got in, and I get a call from Sandy asking me to drop off her keys at the UV. So then I walk, and then when I'm walking, I pass through there, and they're blocking traffic.
Where is this at?
They're blocking traffic at traffic at Canyon Crest and
University. Oh, so by the Arts Building.
Yeah, so they were out there blocking traffic by the Arts Building, and they were noticed. They were definitely noticed, but.
How many of them were there blocking traffic?
This time it was about 8 people, I believe.
Eight people.
Yeah. They were noticed, but when you're blocking traffic with about 8 people, it doesn't necessarily look too good. Really doesn't. You look kind of, you don't look too bright. when you don't have like masses of people in it. I'm gonna say that it didn't look too successful. It looked pretty bad, and then a lot of people noticed them. But whether it helped their cause, No.
How long were they there blocking traffic for?
They were there for like 4 minutes.
For four minutes.
They were there. It was to symbolize the 4 hours that I believe Mike Brown was left out in the street. So I understand that, but I think that's just the entire protest. While I'm not saying its goal itself was a lofty goal, I think it's like it's a good idea to bring awareness to. But at the same time, I don't believe they advertised it enough. They didn't contact the right people, definitely. And if they had contacted Costo Hall earlier, contacted even more ASCCR representatives earlier, just really gotten the campus into it. And like there's a variety of factors. Part of it's just burnout, I believe, you know, like campus burnout from all these protests that have been going on. I mean, it really kind of sucks that we're still talking about this in 2015 and that these issues are still occurring.
Well, there was the last week of fall quarter, so it was in December, there was a die-in on campus because at that time that had just been when...
Ferguson?
I think it was Ferguson had happened.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
And that seems... There were a lot of people involved in that one.
I went to that one, and there were quite a few people. So I think, like, what you're saying is true. People are just kind of, I guess, burned out. So a lot of people just don't show up.
It's like they're kind of beating this topic dead. And it's not that people are unaware of it. It's just that we have shown that, like, not necessarily all of us, but, like, the people that have control, more control over this issue directly, have shown that they're not willing to do anything about it. And I think they're not contacting or going about it the right way with these protests. I mean, there's only so much that you can protest it to raise awareness. If that was the goal, to raise awareness, then it was certainly made, but they're not taking this to the right people. I mean, if they had done their research well enough, I mean, you would notice there's a large racial disparity in certain, I'm not in Riverside, but in certain police departments around Riverside area or around the LA County area do have large racial disparities between the people that live in those communities and the police departments. Had they gone there and done the same thing, it might have helped out the discussion a little bit better.
Well, because one of the things when we talked to two of the protest organizers, they had mentioned that they had sent emails to students. They had talked with I think they had said that they had talked with ASUCR, then they left messages on like campus classrooms, but then at the end of the day, they just had a very few people turn out for it, and said that something like we're disappointed with the turnout, and I think one of the organizers said I don't know if we can organize protests at UCR anymore, is I believe what she said, what if you're trying to organize a protest? I mean, obviously that's a monumental task. Like, to get hundreds of people to agree on at this time and date, we are going to, you know, all do the same thing together, and we're all going to feel energetic enough about it to, like, come out and make a change. So obviously it's not something that's very easy to do, but if you were trying to go about making a protest at UCR, what should have been done for this particular protest?
Take into mind the undergraduate student body, because I'm pretty sure the person that organized this was a graduate student.
They both were, yeah.
Yeah, they exactly. And while I understand that's noble, I mean, they obviously didn't contact enough of their colleagues or enough people in other graduate departments about this, or make sure that they were actively involved with this. I mean, from the get-go, the people that are forming this themselves, they don't have a lot of people to begin with that are helping them organize everything together. Like, let's say if you only have about, like, five people organizing the main thing, you're not going to have a lot of, like, from the beginning, you're not going to have a lot of people later on helping you put this together. When I attended protest with, I think, fall quarter, it was for the Ayotzinapa one, they had about 50 people. They had a decent crowd show up. Mm-hmm. But the people that were organizing this, they had a good amount of people that were helping to organize this as well. They had about 30 people organizing this. So from the beginning of it, you knew there was going to be a decent crowd of people that were going to show up. You knew there was going to be a lot of people. So for this, I mean, it didn't seem like that many people were organizing this or were together with it from the get-go.
Do you think that there's anything in particular about Riverside that lends itself, or Riverside or UCR, that lends itself to a lack of enthusiasm for protesting or taking actions? I mean, some people say that there is, when, especially if you compare it to, say, UC Berkeley, where there were significant protests during the 60s. Again, I mean, there were protests at UCR at that time as well. But, I mean, the crowd was so big at Berkeley that they were able to surround a car, and it was not able to leave because of the protest size. They've also been to the UC Board of Regents meetings, and have shown up to continually protest there as well. So is there anything that's special about UCR or Riverside when it comes to trying to organize people to protest, or is it just an individual case where the protesting was difficult?
Well, I mean, just in general, like, I know a lot of people do say, like, our campus is pretty apathetic, I guess, towards these kinds of things, but I think it's just hard in general to organize college students and to make them care enough to, you know, take the time out to do it. But I think if it's a cause you're really passionate about, you're going to find the time to do it. So it's really, I think it's hard to say, like, if there's anything specific about UCR that, I don't know, kind of has people, I don't know, like, not really caring, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
Hmm. I mean, I definitely think that there needs to be some the passion for whatever's happening. And maybe at this point people were passionate about other things at this time, or, I mean, the ASUCR elections are obviously coming up very shortly, so maybe everybody's energy has been directed toward that, and they're not able to put as much time into this particular protest as they would like.
Right, and midterms
as well.
Up.
Yeah, and maybe everybody's just ready for summer vacation.
Yeah, and like Aaron was saying also, with this particular protest, like, awareness, you know, is one thing that people are always trying to, you know, get out there and everything. So maybe if they were to organize it in a way that, like, kind of had specifically maybe one thing they're trying to accomplish, people might be like, okay, well, let's go help them out with that or something like that. But, you know, just in general, like, the blocking traffic and everything, it's good to raise awareness, but that's what most of the protests have been geared towards in the past, so...
Finish it off, Aaron.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Bring something different to the table. I mean, we've seen that type of protest happen, like, before in fall quarter, and, like, seen similar things with people blocking traffic and all that to raise awareness of it. But at the same time, if we've seen it before and you're doing the same thing in spring quarter, it's just going to lead to more burnout. It's going to lead to more disinterest in the campus climate. And the thing is, in order to get people interested, you have to remember, like, we're a 70% commuter school. It's like that probably contributed heavily to, like, the lower turnout as well. But that means you should just try harder in getting people's interest into this.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have another successful protest later this year, or maybe we'll have to wait until fall quarter to see it. But either way, I know that UCR students are capable of it. I've seen it happen. So I think it's just a matter of time before it bubbles up. Unfortunately, we're not going to get the chance to talk about Middle Eastern Week this edition of the show, but you can check out more information about Middle Eastern Week, about the Food Truck Festival, about the protest against police brutality, and about the towels being stolen from the SRC online at highlandernews.org. So be sure to check that out. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the associated students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Aaron Gretsch,
remember, always trust the person that has their towel.
Always trust the person that has the towel. Yep, I agree perfectly. Crystal Mims?
Study for your midterms and don't procrastinate like me.
That is also excellent advice. Crystal, maybe you ought to start studying for your midterms.
Yeah.
And you can do it with a towel, because you should never leave anywhere without your towel.
Everyone read Hitchhiker's Guide if you don't get these references.
You should definitely read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy if you haven't done it. You just need to do it. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us, and we will see you again next week.